Good afternoon and welcome back to the Tech Connects Business Podcast, the business of your business. I'm your host, Ryan Ellis. And on today's episode, we are talking to Terry Macherniak. Terry Macherniak is the founder and managing director of Apex Capital Advisors. He has over 25 years of experience in the tech sector and is a serial entrepreneur, having founded and grown several businesses with two successful exits, including one to a division of global giant Siemens. Terry also has extensive M&A, venture capital, and corporate advisory experience and has raised over $20 million in his own ventures. Terry has experience in clean tech, software, e-commerce, consumer marketplace, marketing, and media. Terry is currently serving as director of the York Angels, senior advisor at EACL Consulting Services, clean tech advisor at Mars, director of Quitech Inc., and previously held a role of executive director at York Angels. Terry also holds a degree of law from Osgoode Law School. And today, I'm really looking forward to my conversation with Terry. And we have a couple of events planned with Terry here at Tech Connects in November. So we're looking forward to presenting Terry and Apex Capital Advisors to the membership. And really looking forward to my conversation today. So enjoy. Good afternoon, Terry. How are you?
I'm great, thanks.
Awesome. This afternoon on the Tech Connects podcast, The Business of Your Business, I'm speaking with Terry Macherniak. He is the founder of Apex Capital Advisors. And I wanted to have a talk with Terry about M&A and what companies should be looking for in a M&A company and what M&A companies should be looking for and potential new clients, and looking for Terry to provide some insights on tips and tricks of the M&A world. So welcome, Terry.
Thank you very much.
Terry, I want to start off with a little bit about yourself, and I wanted you to tell us about who you are and tell us a little bit about Apex Capital Advisors.
Okay, so my career, I've been a founder of tech businesses for about 25 years. I'm actually a lawyer by training, but I didn't do that for very long in my career. So I started three tech companies, had two exits in the past. So I've done a lot of that. And then I've also been heavily involved in the angel capital, venture capital world. So I sit on the board of York Angels, which is, I think, the second largest angel group in Canada. I've raised a whack of venture capital in the past. And then through the course of my career, I've done a number of M&A transactions. I've bought and sold companies a number of times. So that was kind of the impetus behind Apex, is taking a founders or entrepreneurs approach to investment banking, when traditionally that's dominated by more finance professionals. So, and at Apex, we really focus on lower middle market technology companies. So we really are targeting small to mid-sized companies as our clients for both buy side or sell side type of M&A work.
Nice. What sets Apex apart from others in your business? I know that I know you personally, and I know you're very hands-on, and the people within your organization are very hands-on. But what sets you apart? What why would a company go to Apex over somebody else?
Yeah. So there's a couple things. One is we consciously made a decision to focus on small to mid-sized technology companies. And tech companies are very different than bricks and mortar companies. And most investment banks don't even touch that section or that sector. So that's really our focus. And we figured that having an entrepreneurial mindset, being a founder ourselves, every one of our eight advisors are founders of tech companies. So we've all sat on the entrepreneur side of the table and have had to make payroll using your credit card or mortgage our homes to finance the business. So we kind of get that mindset. And we also get the emotional attachment to the business that many founders have. So I think that's really the difference, is we're not corporate finance folks at heart. We're entrepreneurs and business people at heart. So it seems to resonate with the target group that we work with. I think the other difference is we've assembled a team with different vertical expertise. So for example, we have one expert in telecom. We have another expert in the energy, power, and infrastructure sector. We have another expert in the clean tech sector. So we've kind of taken a verticals specialty approach to our team, as opposed to having a hierarchical kind of structure where you have managing partners and associate partners and in that sort of hierarchy. So I think those are some of the things that are a little different.
Yeah, sounds like it's not as much red tape and it sounds like deals can likely get done quicker and more efficient versus, you know, going up four or five different channels within an organization where you guys maybe one to two and then kind of, you know, get to what needs to be done versus waiting a long period of time. So probably people will like the how thorough you guys are versus some of the other companies in your market space. I wanted to ask, with COVID being a part of our lives for the last 7 to 8 months, how has the M&A market looked like within Canada? And besides tech, what are some of the other industries that are really hot right now for the M&A world?
So it's funny, I think the market's changed. So for 3 months when COVID hit, I mean, nobody did anything, right? They put their hands in their pocket and tried to figure out what was going to happen and if the world was going to collapse. But once we got through that, I'm finding that especially Americans are still doing deals. They're anxious to do deals. They got money burning a hole in their pocket, a lot of the private equity guys. So they're pretty aggressive. I found it may be actually the companies that are slowing down the M&A market because many of them feel like it's not good timing and they're selling into a low market, which there's some truth to that, because I think in general, we're seeing valuations, at least for technology companies, are down by 20-30% since COVID hit. But it's not to say that it's not a good time to sell a business, because there's a lot of money out there looking for a home, and we expect there's going to be a lot of consolidation and change once things settle. As soon as we start to get out of COVID, whenever that is, I think there's a lot of opportunity for acquirers of companies, and change brings opportunity. So I think we'll see a pretty robust market. And actually, even I've just seen some stats lately, Q3. M&A transactions are up, I don't know, 26% over Q2. So it's already starting to rebound from that initial shock of COVID.
How many deals are you guys currently working on right now?
Again, we're a small group of 8 guys. So we've got 4 mandates going right now. 2 of them are sort of strategic advisory roles. So we're just advising companies on, you know, how to maximize the value of their company, how to grow their sales, how to position themselves for an exit. And then we've got 2, 1 buy side and 1 sell side mandate.
Okay, cool. So one of the other questions, I know this is more about the education about M&A. What should companies look for in an advisory firm like yourself?
When we do the educational workshop, we touch on it. So I think if you're serious about selling your company and not just selling to the first suitor, I think you need to build a team. So I think you need a tax advisor, which may be separate from your regular accountant. I think you need to find a good M&A lawyer. And again, that's different from a generalist corporate lawyer. There are folks that just specialize in that. I think you need to be talking to your wealth advisor or your wealth manager, because there may be tax implications on how to structure your portfolio. And then, you know, for investment banks or M&A advisors, I think the most important thing is to find the right fit with the markets that they have expertise in. So you don't want a mid-market M&A shop doing a $5 million tech deal. It doesn't make any sense, because they're going to be taking a sledgehammer to kill a fly approach. So I think it's finding the right M&A advisor that works in the size of company that you are, and that has ideally specific expertise or experience in your sector. So if you're a SaaS software company, or if you're a telecom company, try and find an M&A advisor that's done deals in your industry, as opposed to someone who's just a generalist. Because, and this is especially important for tech companies, because tech companies are valued very differently than more mature companies. You know, many tech companies are valued sometimes at a multiple of revenues, whereas mature companies are valued at a multiple of EBITDA. But if you're a $10 million tech company, there's no reason it can't be valued at $20 or $30 million, even if you're still break even or losing money, provided it's the right tech in the right sector and the right market timing, right? So they're just really apples and oranges. So I think tech is small to mid-sized tech companies are a bit of a unique skill set.
I guess my next question is kind of the reverse. What do you guys look for in a client? And like, what are some of the pluses, and what are some of the X's that, that would steer away a company like yourself from working with a potential client?
Yeah, a good question, because it very much is a two-way street, that the fit has to be right both ways. Investment banks get most of their compensation as success fees, not in upfront consulting fees. So we're tied to the success of the transaction. So, you know, the couple of things we look for, number one, are realistic expectations of the entrepreneur. I spoke to one company 2 days ago. They got $2.5 million in revenue, are losing money, and they think they're worth $20 million. On an exit. And so we got to walk them off the cliff there and figure out if there's a more pragmatic approach to this. So certainly just managing expectations on what the company might be valued. The other thing that we look for in particular is something unique in the company that allows us to try and sell it for a premium above just a regular EBITDA multiple. So whether it's a unique technology, whether it's an underserviced niche market, whether it's just a unique revenue model in an existing market, but something a little different that separates them from being a commodity business in their industry. So I think that's the other thing. And then I guess the third thing is, do they have the ducks in a row? You know, do they have good financial metrics in place, and do they have a CFO or a decent controller, things like that? Because financial is going to be a big part of it. And you better be prepared when due diligence happens. You can't be creating documents when the buyer says, okay, I'm ready for due diligence, right? So I think it's preemptively having, you know, your balance sheet clean, your books in order, having no litigation outstanding, just nuts and bolts things that would be ghosts that would come out of the closet in due diligence.
One of the things that you mentioned a couple of minutes ago was, and you've gone through this as well, the emotional experience of selling your company. How do you go about, how do you go about working with, the seller and their emotional attachment to their product, to their baby. And especially during these times, last 7-8 months, a lot of empathy, people have been kind of all over the place, but obviously deals have to keep going through. So how do you work with an emotional a seller?
So good question. So some founders are too emotionally attached that it's just not even workable. Like they just, it's their baby and they're never going to give it up, or they're only going to give it up like if they can, you know, get a crazy dollar amount. So that's when we turn and run away. So that's one issue. But I think the other thing is, by having a team of advisors, they take some of the emotional aspect out of the equation. Because I've been in it before. When I sold my first company, you know, when we were negotiating the sell price with the buyers, it got very acrimonious. And because you're emotional, and it was really, in that case, it was a kind of an objective third party board member that sort of mediated or brokered the deal in that case. So I think an M&A advisor can play that nice objective role and essentially mediate between the two parties. So I think having some objective players at the table is good. And then also just having a very frank discussion with the founder up front, because they have to have a, we need to know that they're clearly ready to sell and not just thinking about selling at a stupid price. So it's a lot of hand holding and managing along the way, but I think being brutally honest and upfront with them at the beginning of the process will help to manage that.
Awesome. My last question before we wrap this up, or what are your top three tips for anybody looking to sell? You know, what should people be doing, and what kind of homework should they be doing as well to get ready to sell?
So I think, as I mentioned before, they kind of have to have their house in order. So I think assembling your team of advisors and having, you know, your tax planning done, your financials in good shape, not having any legal issues. So just getting a lot of those expected due diligence things are important. I think the other thing that tends to happen is every company has ghosts in the closet. You better be upfront about them. So you're much better off telling the buyer, here's a challenge we're facing and here's how we're mitigating that challenge, as opposed to them finding out on the back end in due diligence, because that will kill the deal. As soon as the buyer loses trust in the target company, they're either going to ask for a massive discount or they're going to kill the deal. So I think just being upfront and not hiding anything, and just being ready for the due diligence. So one thing we do, we stress a lot when we work with clients, is we walk them through the process. And there's a pretty standard process that every M&A transaction goes through. It's about 14 steps, but really walking them through the process to know what to expect. And once they know what to expect, then they can kind of prepare themselves for it.
Excellent. Well, Terry, that's our time for today. I definitely want to thank you and Apex Capital Advisors for spending a couple of minutes with me and just kind of giving me a brief look into your everyday world. And I know it's a very important world, especially with technology and the area that we're in. So wanted to thank you. And I wanted just to tell our listeners that Terry will be presenting a workshop with us at TechConnex on November 4th at 12 p.m. And he will be discussing the professional guide to M&A transactions for founders. And we're looking forward to you speaking and continuing to educate the masses here in Ontario. So with that, Terry, thank you very much for your time, and have a great day.
Awesome. Thanks, Ryan. Bye-bye. Thank you.